Philippians chapter 1 tonight. Philippians chapter number 1. I don't know how many in this room, a number of you I know in this room, have served our country in one of the branches of our military, and I sure appreciate and honor the veterans who've served. I recognize that there's the freedoms that we enjoy are in large part because people have voluntarily given their life, either for a period of time, a number of years, or some who have given their life permanently by the ultimate sacrifice in service of our country and our freedoms. And I'm thankful for that. One of the things that's unique about veterans, they share somewhat of a common bond. There's like a brotherhood that is formed really among all veterans, all service members, and it's based on, to some degree, shared experience. All branches of the military have certain things in common, and therefore everyone who has served has gone through some kind of a process of basic training or boot camp or something of that nature in preparation. They understand military life as a whole, kind of what's expected of you. It's interesting when you get veterans together or people who are even currently serving, you'll hear them speaking almost their own lingo, a language of a bunch of abbreviations and references to things that those who haven't served probably wouldn't be very familiar with. The rest of the world kind of sits on the outside looking in and maybe can decipher some things because maybe they had a relative or something that served, and so they're somewhat familiar, but it's just not quite the same. They don't have that same shared experience. But then in addition to some of the shared experience that is common among veterans, there seems to be another level of bond that comes among those who've served in war. They have experiences that are unique even to a certain subsection of the military, and they have some understanding of some of the struggles and difficulties that others may deal with who've been in similar situations. They've seen some things that nobody could possibly understand if they had not experienced them. And so there's somewhat of a commonality there in their experience. There's a closeness there. But then even closer than that, so you've got the bond that is kind of there with all veterans, and then you have those who served in wars and wartime, and then you have those that have served together in the same unit. And they have not only this shared mutual experience that kind of is true of all veterans or all combat veterans, but they have a closeness that's even greater because they have gone through the exact same things together. So there's a commonality among veterans, but there's somewhat of a uniqueness to the experiences of a particular unit that served together and maybe went to war together. They have seen the same things. They've been to the same places. They've maybe at times lost the same friends in the same battles. There are some things that they can relate to each other on that nobody else in the world could possibly understand. And so there is a brotherhood. There's a bond that is there. Our theme for this year as a church is perfectly joined together. And really, the idea, the thought behind that, the concept behind that is that there would be a brotherhood within the church body specifically, a bond that is unbreakable. And I want you to think about the example that I just gave you in reference to service members, veterans, combat veterans, and those who have served together in the same unit. And I want you to think about this. It's very similar to the way things are in churches, in that we all have much in common with all other believers. Everyone who's saved has a common bond with everyone else who is saved because of Christ. You can go anywhere in the world and meet someone who knows the Lord, who's been saved, and there is just a commonality. There's a bond there. You have the same spirit. Less than a week, my son Levi and I will be going to Mexico to visit our missionaries there, the Harris family, and we'll fellowship with people that we've never met before, people who are from a different culture, a different language than us, but there's a bond that's there because of Christ. And that's true of Christians everywhere. And I would say this even, there's a bond even when you go outside of those who are Baptists. If they know Christ, there is something there that draws you to them unlike the world because they know Christ. There is a general experience for all who are saved. But then there's somewhat of an even closer fellowship, is there not, when we get together with like-minded, Bible-believing Baptists that not only have the same salvation, they have the same Christ, but we believe the same things. We're doctrinally close. We practice our faith in the same way because we believe this is what the Bible tells us we ought to do. And so there is a commonality there that's even a little bit closer when you find someone who believes like you do. There's a bond there. I remember several years ago, this has been probably 6.5 years ago, I took a couple of guys over to Liberia, West Africa, where my family would set up for about a year. We were doing somewhat of a survey trip, and we met with some people there who were saved, and we had good fellowship with them, and they knew the Lord, they loved the Lord, it was a blessing. And then one day, providentially, the Lord led us to this place. We just happened to see a church sign. We had no idea who these people were. We went in and inquired, and we met the pastor, and we sat down with him, and we started asking him questions. And in our conversation, you know, what do you believe about this? And what do you believe about this? And obviously you start with the general things. You know, what do you believe about God? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What do you believe about salvation? How does a person come to know Christ as their Savior? And then as you kind of drill down, you know, what do you believe about the Bible? Which Bible do you use and why? What do you believe about baptism? What do you believe about the ordinances? And everything, it was like this guy was checking all the boxes. And we asked him, we said, well, you know, do you use any types of curriculum or anything like that when you're discipling a new Christian or whatever? He said, yeah, let me show you what I use. And he pulled out a copy of the ABCs of Christian Growth that was written by Robert Sargent, who's a friend of ours, obviously, and aligned with us doctrinally. And I thought, that's crazy. Well, come to find out, and there's a long story, this man was led to the Lord by Larry Morgan, who's one of our missionaries that we support, and trained by him. And all of a sudden, just we had no idea this guy was even there. But we met this guy, and not only is he saved, but he believes like we do. He teaches like we do. He preaches like we do. And boy, the closeness that came from that was greater than others that we had fellowship with who also knew the Lord. But there's something that goes beyond just the fellowship of the brethren in general or the fellowship that we have with others who are like-minded in their faith. There is a closeness that God desires for us as members of the same body, members of the same New Testament church, that exceeds even our fellowship with others. In just a couple of months, we're going to be hosting our preaching and ministry conference. And we'll have brethren from all over the country that are here fellowshipping with us and preaching. And it'll be a blessed time. But one thing is for certain, God's desire for us is that we would be more closely knit together with one another than we are with those brethren, even from other churches. Why is that? Because we are part of the same body in Christ. We have walked through life together. We have much in common with other Christians, certainly with other Baptists, but for a church family, we have a bond unlike any others because we have lived life and gone through the mountains and the valleys together. We've shared together in joy and sorrow. We've attended the same weddings and the same funerals. We've witnessed the same baptisms. And we've wept together as we've seen people leave at times on bad terms, at times on good terms. But it's not just our memories that we've made together. There is a common bond that we have in Christ and in our mutual service to the Lord as we serve God alongside of each other that draws us close in a way that nothing else could. When we serve together, we get to know each other. When we serve together, we pour our hearts into the same mission. And Jesus said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when we invest our treasure, our time, our efforts, our money into the same cause and the same purpose, you know what happens? We're knit together. We're joined together. We're here in Philippians chapter 1. I'll let you remain seated because we're just going to read one verse. Verse number 27. Here's what it says. Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, says to them, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We've spent the first few weeks of this year on Wednesday nights considering the importance of unity together as a church family, being joined together in one mind in the Lord. And here Paul is admonishing the church at Philippi to be joined together in their commitment and service to the Lord in the gospel. I want you to notice that they are not only to foster this, but it's something that is supposed to define them. They are to cling to it. They are to hold on to it. In verse 27, in the middle of the verse, he said, that ye stand fast in one spirit. That this would be something that you are unwavering in, that you are held together, that you are standing firm in your what? In your mutual service in the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to notice that he says to the church here at Philippi, and by extension to us as a New Testament church, that the furtherance of the gospel is to be, number one, our conversation. It's to be our conversation. Look what he says in verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Now, as I mentioned before, the word conversation there is different than how we use the term conversation today. When we speak of conversation, we're talking about the way that we speak when we're having a dialogue with someone else. But biblically, when the word conversation has to do with your manner of life, it is the way that you live. Do you remember in the book of Acts where Paul says that he had lived in with a clear conscience before God and men? That word lived there is the same word as conversation here. It's the way, it's our manner of life. It is the way that we live. In other words, what he is saying is this, that for us as God's people, our commitment to the gospel is not supposed to be just something we do, something we're serious about, something that we're committed to, something that we're standing up for and preaching about. It is to be our very life. It's to be who we are. It is to be what we do. It is to be our lifestyle, our manner of life. In other words, the fabric of our life as a church body is to be the furtherance of the gospel. That's what it's to be. Now, I think this is very important because if we're not careful, we can become very distracted, can't we, as to what our main purpose is. Have you ever gotten just kind of busy in serving the Lord and lost sight of why you do what you do? I know I have. I mean, it happens to me. I've got to continually think about it. How do we serve? Well, I mean, some people serve in caring for the facilities, you know, cleaning the building. Some of you serve on cleaning teams, and you're here, you know, every week or every other week, and you're, you know, vacuuming, and you're washing windows, and you're cleaning toilets, and you're doing different things, and you know, okay, that's important, it needs to be done, but why are you doing that? Ultimately, it's to be for the furtherance of the gospel. It's not just because it's a need that needs to be done. Oh, I teach a Sunday school class, I work with kids, and I work in the nursery, or I teach in master clubs, or I sing in the choir, I sing special music, and pretty soon you get busy doing all these different things, and you know what can happen is we can begin to lose sight of why we do what we do. And not only can we lose sight of that in terms of our service, but we can actually lose sight of that when it comes to our whole approach to church. Sometimes people actually start to attend church in order to just have their needs met. I mean, I've seen it before, you've seen it before, where people start coming to church. One of the reasons they start coming to church is because they have material needs. They're struggling financially, and they're hoping maybe the church will help them out with some groceries or some rent money or whatever the case is. And, you know, from time to time, obviously, we try to minister to people who are actually in need in those ways and care for the material needs. But that ultimately is not the reason that we exist as a church. Some people will go to a church because they're looking for friendship. They're looking for companionship. Maybe they're looking for help in their relationships, you know, or their marriage is on the rocks, they're struggling in raising their kids, and they think, boy, maybe if we could just get in church, we'll get some of these needs met. And listen, I'm not downing any of those things. I'm thankful for God bringing people our way that we can minister to. Praise the Lord for that. But I just want to say to you that as a church family tonight, let's not lose sight of why we're here. We are here primarily for the furtherance of the gospel in all things. Don't get distracted and turned aside as to what we are to be about. This is to be what we are to be about. Everything we do is to be about the gospel. We are to be gospel-centric. I want you to notice that word in verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. That's an interesting word, another word that we don't necessarily use very often in that same way, that same manner, but it is to be as it becometh the gospel. You say, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, how many of you have maybe ever heard the phrase, that's not very becoming of you? Anybody ever heard that before? That's not very becoming of you. What do we mean by that? Well, it's not beneficial. It's not helpful. It's not really to the level of worthiness. It's not worthy of you. That's what that word means. And so when he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, this is what he's talking about. Live a life that is worthy of the gospel. In fact, that same word that's translated becometh there is that same word that is translated worthy in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says, I beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Live your life in a manner that is dedicated to the gospel, that is becoming of the gospel. That is what you are to do. And notice he says that this isn't to be affected by just the presence or absence of others. He says in there in the middle of the verse that whether I come and see you or else be absent. That this is to be true of you, whether, in their case, the apostle is there present with them, or if he happens to be absent from them. God help us to not change who we are simply because we're trying to impress certain people. We need to be who God wants us to be, whether others are there or not, whether someone is watching us or not. And our lives are supposed to be about the furtherance of the gospel in all things. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. But what does that mean? What does it mean as it becometh the gospel? What's he talking about? Well, there's a few aspects of that to consider. But the one that's obvious to us is this: evangelism. First and foremost, the gospel is a message of salvation and deliverance for all people. And our commission, our commandment by the Lord Jesus before he left this earth was to take the message of the gospel, the salvation that is freely offered in Christ, and to bring it to every creature in the world. That is what we are to do. That is our mission. That is our marching orders that God has given us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel being that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that all who will place their faith and trust in him will be saved. That is the message of the gospel, and God's desire is for every creature in the world to hear it. Everyone. That's why we exist as a church. We don't exist to be a social club. We don't exist just to give you something to do on the weekends. No, we exist because God wants us to take his message of salvation to a lost and dying world that is sitting in darkness. And everything we do should be motivated by this: until the whole world hears, we have not obeyed Christ's command. Until every soul on earth has heard the message of the gospel, we have not finished the task. And so what does this do? Well, it causes us to seek to be involved in missions. And I would say to you that as a church, again, remember, he's talking here about being standing fast in one spirit, with one mind. This is about unity. This is about being joined together. And as he's talking about this, he says the important aspect is that you are joined together in like-mindedness when it comes to the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, if we are going to be perfectly joined together, we need to be perfectly joined together in the mission. And the mission is to get the gospel to every person. So how do we do that? Well, as a church, one of the things that we do, not the only thing that we do, but one of the things that we do, is we support missionaries that are in various parts of the world. We support around 30 missionaries or ministries, some here in the States, mostly on foreign soil, of people who are going to these places. And you know what they're doing? They're preaching the gospel to lost people, and they're planting churches, and they're furthering the work of missions. And so we support them. As a church, we give financially to support their needs. And everyone who is a member of this body ought to participate in that. Everyone should. And maybe you say, well, I don't have a lot of extra margin. I don't have a lot to give. Maybe you don't have a lot, but you ought to do something. You ought to do something by faith, because this is part of what the church does. And as we give to that, you know what happens? Think about this. If you never give to missions, when one of our missionaries that we support comes and gives us an update on the work, you might sit there and think, oh, that's nice. But if you've sacrificed and you've given to them, it matters to you what God is doing there. You've got investment in that. And you know what? As we have mutual investment in that, we rejoice together. So we give to missions. What else do? We pray for our missionaries. And this is something that every member of the church should be doing. You ought to be praying for our missionaries. Some of these young guys I've been working with, I've been challenging them. Do you know who all of our missionaries are? Can you tell me their names? Can you tell me where they are? Can you tell me what they're doing? Why? Because you ought to. These are missionaries that we support as a church. This is our mission. Visit them. And even beyond that, all of us should be saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. We do that around the world, but you know what? We also do that right here locally. We have scheduled times that we get together as a church and we go out and either knock on doors or set up a tent and pass out Bibles, or we do different things to try to get the gospel to people right here in our own community. And this is another one of those areas that every member of this body should be part of. Amen. If you want amen, I will. Every member of this body ought to be part of outreach here locally. And you can do that on your own time. You can do that during scheduled times where we get together. But guess what? This is a work of the church, not just a few within the church. You need to be bringing the gospel to people. Why? Because that's what we're about. That's what we're about as a church. And as much as those souls over in China and Indonesia and in the Middle East need Jesus, so do the people across the street. They need Him too. And God has put you here and God has put me here as missionaries in our community to get the gospel to them. And you need to have a part in that, and so do I. And not only do we need to be involved in that, listen, maybe you say, well, physically, I'm not able to do those things. Okay, fine. If you're not physically able to do it, then take those scheduled outreach times and pray for those who are physically able to. Be involved in the work of outreach. Why? Because this is our mission. This is what we're to be doing. And then I would even say this, all of the programs of the church, and we have many of them, they exist for the furtherance of the gospel. We have currently, right tonight, going on downstairs, we have master clubs where our young people, our children, from little kids, preschool age, on up to, what, sixth grade or something like that, are being taught the Word of God. They're being taught the Word of God. They're being challenged to memorize the Scriptures. They're being encouraged to get into the Word and study it. Why? Well, because number one, we want our children to be saved. And it's the Word of God, it's the gospel that will bring them to salvation. But maybe though there are many of our kids down there that are saved. What are we trying to do? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to equip them to become evangelists. To go and carry the gospel. It's about the gospel. That's what I'm saying. It's about the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we do what we do. Not just so that kids can have something to be entertained with. We do it because we want to further the gospel. In all the things that we do, it ought to be about the furtherance of the gospel. But I want to say this also, that the gospel is not only about evangelism. The gospel does not only apply when it comes to salvation. A lot of times I think people have that idea in their mind that, you know, the gospel, the message of salvation, the message of the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ, that only is applicable up until the time of salvation. And then there's like the rest of the Bible. I think sometimes people separate that out in their mind. Let me just say this to you. Everything in Scripture is about the gospel. It's about Christ. The gospel is the Christian life. That's what it is. It's not that I needed the gospel just so that I could be saved and now I am growing in sanctification. No, sanctification is part of the gospel. It's what happens. I mean, salvation is just the entry point. But the fact that Christ, listen, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and Christ brought me to life, but He is now living in me. And the gospel is being effective, it's effectual in my life every single day that the Lord is growing me and the Lord is teaching me. And as I'm dying to self and living unto the Lord, it is about the gospel. This is what it's about. And so he says, only let your conversation be about the gospel. Everything you do, listen, strive together, work together, be about the gospel. Why? Because that's what you're about. That's what churches are about. What's going to bring us together? Service to the Lord, service in the gospel. So he speaks of our conversation, but not only our conversation, our makeup, our manner of life, but even our conduct. Look at this. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Your affairs. What are your affairs? Oh, it's the things that you do. It's the things you do. That I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. And then he says this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, we can be here tonight. We can talk about the gospel. We can say this is who we are. This is what we believe. This is why we exist. But what really proves that out is not just in what we believe and what we say, it's in what we do. It's in our affairs. It's in our actions. And it's one thing to say, yeah, I believe it. Praise God for the gospel. I mean, the preaching of the cross is, you know, the power of God unto salvation and all of it. Praise the Lord, I believe in the gospel. And then my question would be, well, what are we doing about that? What does our conduct actually say? That I may hear of your affairs. What's going on? What's been going on at Mount Zion Baptist Church for the last 6 months? What have you guys been up to? And as God looks at the church, would he see a church that is about the gospel? That's what we live for. That's what we give our life to. I mean, it's reflected in what's occupying our time and our energy and our, what are we doing? I often try to take some time, and those of you who know me know when it comes to our missionaries, I try to give lots of grace, understanding that, you know, there's life and there's circumstances that sometimes get in the way, but at the same time, I'm somewhat particular in the sense that I want to see, and when they're writing prayer letters, newsletters to us about what's going on, I want to see that if we're supporting a missionary, they're putting in some effort, that they're trying to reach people, that they're going out there, they're maybe distributing gospel tracts, maybe preaching on the street, maybe inviting people to special events, setting up Bible studies with people. I mean that they're actually doing something for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm not real excited about it when everything that they talk about is, you know, family things that they're doing and stuff going on, you know, in their house and this vacation they took and all that kind of stuff, because that's not what we're supporting them for. We're supporting them for the furtherance of the gospel. And yet at the same time, I recognize if I'm going to hold our missionaries to that I need to hold myself to that. And that we as a church, and so I'll sit down sometimes every, you know, few months or so, I'll sit down and kind of write down a list. If I was going to write a prayer letter about what I've been doing and what we've been doing as a church over the last few months, what would I have to say? Is it all going to be just a bunch of, you know, internal stuff? Different things we did, fellowships we had, activities we did, you know, building maintenance and remodels. And listen, I'm not against that stuff. We've got plenty of work to do, guys. We got things that need to be done around here. I'm just saying, what's it all about? What are we doing? I think we need to be about the gospel and our affairs, our efforts. The things that we do, the things we spend our time on, that's what's going to show what our conversation really is about. We will do the things that are important to us. He said that you would strive together for the faith of the gospel. This implies effort. It implies labor. It implies that there's more than just lip service. There's intentional effort by the church body and the individuals within it that the gospel would go forward. And this is one of the important keys for us being joined together in one spirit and one mind. I want to read the verse again to you tonight. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, as you strive together for the faith of the gospel, you know what happens? You become united in mind and spirit. In your mutual service to the Lord, you become unified. And he said, this is what I'm striving for. This is what I'm encouraging you in. This is why everyone needs to get plugged in to the church. Everyone needs to get plugged into the church. You know, sometimes people say, and I hear, I'm not speaking of anyone in specific, but I'll hear people say, well, I just don't really feel connected. You know, I come to church, but I just don't really feel connected. I don't feel like, you know, I've got those bonds. I don't feel like I've really got those relationships. Let me just tell you, if you want to feel connected, get plugged in. Get connected. Get busy serving. Get busy serving God. As we serve God together, you know what happens? We become connected. We serve the Lord together. We share in mutual experiences. We set our mind on a singular mission, and all of a sudden, hey, I've got a place. I've got something that God wants me to do. The truth of the matter is that within any church, there are always these fringes that people kind of will sit out on the fringe. And unfortunately, it's not one of those things where you're either on the fringe or you're not. No, you can go from being on the fringe to being plugged in. But you can also go from being plugged in to kind of backing off, and pretty soon you find yourself on the fringe. You're there, but you're not really there. Listen, if you want to be part of this, here's what we need to do. We need to get in the yoke together. Start pulling the plow. Let me just say this as well. When people start to feel disconnected, it's often because they're not really laboring together. When people start to become disenfranchised, if you find yourself in a situation like that where you're just kind of looking around and you're starting to see things that you don't like, that's kind of where your focus is becoming. Man, I'm a little bit irritated by this. I don't care for this program. I don't like this style of preaching. I don't like this song that we sang. I don't, you know, and it's this kind of critical spirit that you're starting to get. It's probably because you need to get plugged in. And the truth is, there's no such thing as a perfect church. We're going to have our problems. We're going to have our issues. But I'll say this: it's a whole lot easier to be on board when you're busy in the work. It really is. And I just want to encourage you, get plugged in. Let's be about the gospel. Let's labor together. Let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. It's going to be good for all of us. It's going to be good for all of us. Someone said it's hard to rock a boat when you're busy rowing it. And it just, honestly, let's just join arms together and go forward in that which is our mission, the Great Commission, that all would hear, that the whole world would hear. That's what we need to be about.